Today is the 24th day of April. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is wonderful to be here with you today. Man, in the kind of final quarter of the month of April, 1 week from today, and we'll be graduating ourselves into a new month. But that's a whole week away. Grateful to be here with you today as we gather once again around this global campfire and take the next step forward. We have just launched ourselves into the book of Judges. We're kind of given the lay of the land. The children of Israel have conquered the promised land. Not completely, but they control it. Their leader, Joshua, who brought them into the land, who succeeded Moses, has died. And now we're in a time, a period, where everybody's going to do what's right in their own eyes. And their leaders will not be the same as Moses and Joshua, but their leaders will rise up to lead the people. And the leaders will be known as judges. Today, Judges chapters 2, verse 10 to 3, verse 31. After that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight and served the images of Baal. They abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. They went after other gods, worshiping the gods of the people around them, and they angered the Lord. They abandoned the Lord to serve Baal and the images of Ashtoreth. This made the Lord burn with anger against Israel. So he handed them over to raiders who stole their possessions. He turned them over to their enemies all around, and they were no longer able to resist them. Every time Israel went out to battle, the Lord fought against them, causing them to be defeated, just as he had warned. And the people were in great distress. Then the Lord raised up judges to rescue the Israelites from their attackers. Yet Israel did not listen to the judges, but prostituted themselves by worshiping other gods. How quickly they turned away from the path of their ancestors, who had walked in obedience to the Lord's commands. Whenever the Lord raised up a judge over Israel, he was with that judge and rescued the people from their enemies throughout the judge's lifetime. For the Lord took pity on his people who were burdened by oppression and suffering. But when the judge died, the people returned to their corrupt ways, behaving worse than those who had lived before them. They went after other gods, serving and worshiping them, and they refused to give up their evil practices and stubborn ways. So the Lord burned with anger against Israel. He said, "Because these people have violated my covenant, which I made with their ancestors, and have ignored my commands, I will no longer drive out the nations that Joshua left unconquered when he died. I did this to test Israel, to see whether or not they would follow the ways of the Lord as their ancestors did. That is why the Lord left those nations in place. He did not quickly drive them out or allow Joshua to conquer them all. These are the nations that the Lord left in the land to test those Israelites who had not experienced the wars of Canaan. He did this to teach warfare to generations of Israelites who had no experience in battle. These are the nations, the Philistines, those living under the five Philistine rulers, all the Canaanites, the Sidonians, and the Hivites living in the mountains of Lebanon from Mount Baal Hermon to Lebo Hamath. these people were left to test the Israelites, to see whether they would obey the commands the Lord had given to their ancestors through Moses. So the people of Israel lived among the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, and they intermarried with them. Israelite sons married their daughters, and Israelite daughters were given in marriage to their sons, and the Israelites served their gods. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. They forgot about the Lord their God, and they served the images of Baal and the Asherah poles. Then the Lord burned with anger against Israel, and he turned them over to King Cushan-Rishathaim of Aram-Naharaim. And the Israelites served Cushan-Rishathaim for 8 years. But when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help, the Lord raised up a rescuer to save them. His name was Othniel, the son of Caleb's younger brother, Kenaz. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he became Israel's judge. And he went to war against King Cushan-Rishathaim of Aram. And the Lord gave Othniel victory over him. So there was peace in the land for 40 years. Then Othniel, son of Kenaz, died. Once again, the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight, and the Lord gave King Eglon of Moab control over Israel because of their evil. Eglon enlisted the Ammonites and Amalekites as allies, and then he went out and defeated Israel, taking possession of Jericho, the city of palms. And the Israelites served Eglon of Moab for 18 years. But when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help, the Lord again raised up a rescuer to save them. His name was Ehud, son of Gera, a left-handed man of the tribe of Benjamin. The Israelites sent Ehud to deliver their tribute money to King Eglon of Moab. So Ehud made a double-edged dagger that was about a foot long, and he strapped it to his right thigh, keeping it hidden under his clothing. He brought the tribute money to Eglon, who was very fat. After delivering the payment, Ehud started home with those who had helped carry the tribute. But when Ehud reached the stone idols near Gilgal, he turned back. He came to Eglon and said, "I have a secret message for you." So the king commanded his servants, "Be quiet," and he sent them all out of the room. Ehud walked over to Eglon, who was sitting alone in a cool upstairs room. And Ehud said, "I have a message from God for you." As King Eglon rose from his seat, Ehud reached with his left hand, pulled out the dagger strapped to his right thigh, and plunged it into the king's belly. The dagger went so deep that the handle disappeared beneath the king's fat. So Ehud did not pull out the dagger, and the king's bowels emptied. Then Ehud closed and locked the doors of the room and escaped down the latrine. After Ehud was gone, the king's servants returned and found the doors to the upstairs room locked. They thought he might be using the latrine in the room, so they waited. But when the king didn't come out after a long delay, they became concerned and got a key. And when they opened the doors, they found their master dead on the floor. While the servants were waiting, Ehud escaped, passing the stone idols on his way to Seirah. When he arrived in the hill country of Ephraim, Ehud sounded a call to arms. Then he led a band of Israelites down from the hills. "Follow me," he said, "for the Lord has given you victory over Moab, your enemy." So they followed him, and the Israelites took control of the shallow crossing of the Jordan River, across from Moab, preventing anyone from crossing. They attacked the Moabites and killed about 10,000 of their strongest and most able-bodied warriors. Not one of them escaped. So Moab was conquered by Israel that day, and there was peace in the land for 80 years. After Ehud, Shamgar, son of Anath, rescued Israel, He once killed 600 Philistines with an ox goad. Luke 22:14-34. When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, "I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins, for I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. Then he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come." He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. But here at this table, sitting among us as a friend, is the man who will betray me. For it has been determined that the Son of Man must die. But what sorrow awaits the one who betrays him?" The disciples began to ask each other which of them would ever do such a thing. And they began to argue among themselves about who would be the greatest among them. Jesus told them, "In this world, the kings and great men lord it over their people. Yet they are called friends of the people. But among you it will be different. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant. Who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves?" "The one who sits at the table, of course, but not here. For I am among you as one who serves. You have stayed with me in my time of trial, and just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I now grant you the right to eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And he will sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers." Peter said, "Lord, I am ready to go to prison with you and even to die with you." But Jesus said, "Peter, let me tell you something. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me." Psalm 92 and 93. Psalm 92, a psalm, a song to be sung on the Sabbath day. "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to the Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning, your faithfulness in the evening, accompanied by a 10-stringed instrument, a harp, and the melody of a lyre. You thrill me, Lord, with all you have done for me. I sing for joy because of what you have done. Oh Lord, what great works you do, and how deep are your thoughts. Only a simpleton would not know, and only a fool would not understand this. Though the wicked sprout like weeds, and evildoers flourish. They will be destroyed forever. But you, O Lord, will be exalted forever. Your enemies, Lord, will surely perish. All evildoers will be scattered. But you have made me as strong as a wild ox. You have anointed me with the finest oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the defeat of my wicked opponents. But the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon, for they are transplanted to the Lord's own house. They flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. They will declare, "The Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in him." Psalm 93. The Lord is king. He is robed in majesty. Indeed, the Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. The world stands firm and cannot be shaken. Your throne, O Lord, has stood from time immemorial. You yourself are from the everlasting past. The floods have risen up, O Lord. The floods have roared like thunder. The floods have lifted their pounding waves. But mightier than the violent raging of the seas, mightier than the breakers on the shore, the Lord above is mightier than these. Your royal laws cannot be changed. Your reign, O Lord, is holy forever and ever. Proverbs 14, 1 and 2. A wise woman builds her home, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. Those who follow the right path fear the Lord. Those who take the wrong path despise him. Okay, so as we kind of, I guess, jump fully into the book of Judges, we immediately begin to see a seesaw pattern, a wave, a back and forth, falling away, repenting, falling away, repenting, falling away. So, like, right off the bat, there's this pattern. And bang, all of a sudden, well, we gotta pay attention because, well, doggone it if we don't have the pattern. Somehow, right? You know, so falling away and repentance colors most of the story of the ancient Hebrew people. So even as we meet the judge Othniel and Ehud and Shamgar, we also see how the culture is shifting away. They are moving as they were warned in the directions they were warned about. When things get easy for you, right? When things are prosperous for you, this is what you have to watch out for. And they went in that exact direction, as do we. So the culture is shifting away from their utter dependence on God in the wilderness and given over to their own will and wishes, their own pride and selfishness. Proverbs speaks to this. Those who follow the right path fear the Lord. Those who take the wrong path despise him. So then in the Gospel of Luke, we arrive once again and we can't skip. I mean, the Gospels tell the story of Jesus, the Lord, our Lord, and his betrayal and death and resurrection. And we move through this in the Gospels, and so we have to pay attention, because, you know, once we complete the Gospels, then we move into what happens next. And so we want to truly give gravity to the time that we spend with Jesus as we're moving through the Bible in a year. And so we have arrived again at the Last Supper. And in this event, communion again is instituted, or the Eucharist. Jesus' words about the body and the blood. I mean, obviously that's like a sacrament in the church at this point. So that's a pivotal big deal that often overshadows that there is an argument taking place at the table after a disruptive thing. Jesus reveals that there is a betrayer in their midst. And so that disrupts everybody for a second, obviously. And so they move from trying to figure out who's the worst of them to who is the greatest of them. Like, who it could not possibly be, because I am the greatest of the disciples of Jesus. And so they start arguing about that. And, I mean, there is a humor there. It's just a dark humor. To realize that Jesus' efforts to try to show and model and live a completely different way of looking at the world, like, are so profoundly affected by the culture and the assumption of the time, even with Jesus' closest friends. And it's just as heartbreaking by our own culture and assumption, the ways in which these same issues are still with us today. So even with this humongous weight of anguish and mental anxiety and grief and spiritual weight, he's kind and forthright with his friends. And he again sort of steps into the tension, gets everybody's attention, and reveals the way of the kingdom that still seems elusive. He says, in this world, right, the great men, the kings and great men, lord it over their people, and yet they're still called friends of the people. Among you, it's got to be different. It will be different. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank. The leader should be like a servant. Who is more important? The one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The one who sits at the table, of course, but not here. For I am among you as one who serves. I mean, let's just kind of let that sink in. Let's just maybe see if we can't marinate in that for a bit. Because if we're not going to understand how this kingdom that Jesus is proclaiming works, like if we're proclaiming Jesus as king, our king, of his kingdom, well, then he's the king of the kingdom. And so however the kingdom works is like we're claiming allegiance to this. And so we have to understand that if we don't understand what he's saying today, we're missing a lot of his fundamental message. Life is not going to find meaning and fulfillment in our never-ending search for affirmation and validation and greatness. We, at least biblically, like if we believe this, if we're like trying to live into following the way of Jesus, walking his way, living his way, then we will find meaning when we realize that what we're ultimately looking for is connection and validation from our Creator, from God, which cannot be, like, which is primary, which cannot be altered by anyone else, and that is at the level of our identity. And God is pleased with us when we look at each other as He does and lower ourselves into the role of a servant as He did. A lifelong practice here, because it immediately exposes pride and darkness. So Jesus, we invite you into that. That's very challenging. We, I guess humanly speaking, for certain in the cultures that we live in now, but as we read the scriptures, we're looking back millennia and see all of the same human tension thousands of years ago. So as a way of humanity, we seek to be seen. We want the spotlight that makes us feel validated and makes us feel real and important, that gives identity. But once we have given that authority to give identity to anybody but you, or any groups of people or any persuasion, then there is really no way for us to be safe in who we are. And so you say that in your kingdom, it's like the anti-spotlight. It's like there's only one place to shine your light. It's not like we're seeking the light to be shined on us. It's like we're trying to shine our light so that you are revealed. And if everybody has that connection, well, I mean, it's maybe a bit philosophical, maybe a bit naive, also maybe a little bit biblical. This is how things change. This is how the world changes. This is how all things become new. It starts at an individual level with repentance. Like, we repent, we change our mind and go in a new direction. That's repentance. And then we shine the light. And that just keeps happening until the species, I mean, naive as it might be, this is what we're hoping in. All things new. Eventually. That we get it. It's not about us. We're looking for the wrong thing. We already have everything that we need. It's right here in front of us. Why do we keep reaching for what we don't have when it's not something we need? What is this? We're trying to fill ourselves in ways that are going to empty us. Like, why are we doing this? We can feel the emptiness in our soul and we're lost. And so, in this this world, you say, Jesus, the kings and great men lorded over their people. They're still called friends of the people, but among you, it's got to be different. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank. Like, that's a completely opposite identity. The leader should be like a servant. It's a completely different identity. Who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The one who sits at the table, of course, but not here. Not in this kingdom. Because I came among you as one who serves. Holy Spirit, come. Because this all boils down to, where are we trying to get identity? Where is the spotlight coming from? Lead us into all truth, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base. And we've been talking the last couple of days about the brand new home. We really are about to migrate into, really are about to move into. So, been spending the last couple of days, been the next couple of days, because we're going to land this next week before the end of this month. That's the plan. And so, I was sharing about the watch section yesterday. And this is how we've integrated all these films of the different biblical locations and different aspects of the Bible to, I don't know, to just really pull things together for us day by day as we're taking this journey. That watch section is in a brand new community section. We have a community section right now. We're a community. So, you know, prayer and encouragement are part of what we do. So, in the new community section, the prayer wall, there's a brand new prayer wall. We'll definitely be starting all over and moderating that and kind of channeling that back toward what we had always intended it to be, with tools that we need to do that. So the brand new prayer wall will be there. The watch section that I was talking about yesterday is in the community section. And I want to say one more thing about the watch section. I spent all the time explaining these films that we have, the Promised Land films, the biblical locations, and then the Books of the Bible introduction videos, and the short films. They're all in this watch section. But there's one more thing in the watch section right now. This is going to grow, but right now there's one more thing, and it's called testimonials. And so what we've done, like, obviously throughout the whole DNA of the Daily Audio Bible, we've had our Christmas party. We've had Thanksgiving parties. We call in and share and hear from each other every day. And last year, with Chronological and Daily Audio Bible, with Jill and I together, we did, you know, campfire stories. Call and tell us the story of the Bible in your life. Call and tell us the story of the Daily Audio Bible in your life. And we were blown away. It's like, that should stick. That should always be around. And so we kind of built this tool, this way of allowing these campfire stories to constantly be being told and constantly be, be being an encouragement. And so we made this testimonial section where you can record a 1 minute campfire story. 1 minute. This is who I am. This is where I'm from, if that's what you want to do. And this is what the Bible means to me. And it's kind of designed in a social media way where we can just swipe. You can just sit there and swipe. Swipe to the next one. Swipe to the next one. You can love it, comment on it, heart it, and interact that way around our stories within the Bible. So words of encouragement to scroll by and be encouraged and lend your voice and leave your voice. You don't know that your campfire story a couple years from now doesn't actually change somebody's life. And so we're going to expand this, but we're starting right here with just the campfire stories, the testimonials. And it's a 1 minute video, and you can participate in it. Actually, Jill and I have participated in it, and we are very much looking forward to doing our own scrolling means a world to us to see your faces and hear your voices. And so that kind of fills out the watch section that I was talking about yesterday. We're talking about the community section now. In the community section is a tab called Music, where you can now in one place very, very easily get to all of the music from the Daily Audio Bible, whether that be, contemplative music in the background that provides the soundtrack and the bed for what we do here, that is also fantastic music for prayer, contemplation, sleeping, resting, recovering, meditating, thinking, as well as the vocal songs that we release. There's a new music tab that gets you access to the music from the Daily Audio Bible really easily. There is a connect tab that's where all of the different links to the social media platforms and all that kind of stuff that we participate in can be found. And so that should round that out, a brand new community section. And then there's the channels section. We're all familiar with that. Daily Audio Bible has a number of channels, like Daily Audio Bible Chronological, DAB Kids, Psalms, Proverbs, Espanol, Portuguese, right? French, Chinese, a lot of different channels. Two new channels are being added into the app. The first new channel is called Prayers, and that will be a growing collection of specific prayers for specific things, a place to kind of turn to when we need to pray with somebody, we need to hear a prayer, we need to be led in a prayer. And that will grow, at least in my mind, to all the different facets of life. At this point, there are a number, I think there's probably 10 I've done so far. Ancient prayers, like really, really, really ancient prayers from early believers or saints to get us going. Ancient prayers have had a place in my life for a long time, but they are very meaningful to me to connect to a brother or a sister or somebody in a situation 1500 years ago or whatever, and just really feel those words, feel like they are no less relevant today than they were then. That has brought meaning to me. So there's a brand new prayers channel, and then there is a brand new Talks channel. And Jill and I, we've been doing these Whatever This Is episodes, I guess, since last October. We've done talks together and everything, but we started traveling, and so we were doing these daily updates, and the feedback and the connection and the interaction has been really important, and it's let us know a very important thing, that we need to that we need to continue to do that kind of work and sharing of our lives and our stories in that way. And so there's this brand new Talks channel where Whatever This Is and whatever else we come up with will live. If we're having a conversation with somebody or interviewing somebody or having a conversation about mental health or spiritual well-being or spirituality or marriage or prayer or who knows, because who knows wherever Whatever This Is will go. Whatever This Is will be Whatever This Is. There's a couple little episodes in there now to get us going as well. Jill and I had a couple of conversations around our anniversary, and those really struck a nerve, and we got an enormous amount of feedback. And we're going to continue that conversation, but we put the first two kind of episodes of that in the Talks section for right now, and it will just kind of develop and grow from there. So that's as far as I'm going to go today. There's two new channels coming into the channel section. There's a completely redone community section with a lot of new features that are just coming online and that we're going to expand from here. So that's our little, travelogue into the new app, our little orientation for the move in front of us. thank you for your prayers. We're getting a little anxious. Like, even talking about this out loud and saying this is going to happen, we've done that before, and it's just been a kind of a false alarm, false start, and so it's just been really, really hard to pin down everything and migrating something this large. I mean, we're migrating, not just starting a new app, but we're migrating everything from the 1.0 app. So if you've used, you know, the app that exists and earned your badges and worked through the years and you have some notes and, you know, you're like, is that all going to go away? It's not. It's all being brought over, and it'll be there for you in your daily audio Bible account and in the new app as well. But we are talking about hundreds of millions of data points. So thank you for your prayers as we do this, and I'll try to be here navigating us through the next week. I think it's going to be fine. We're going to be fine. And I'm looking forward to us beginning to talk about it. I can't wait to interact about it. So that's as far as we'll go today. Thank you for your prayers. I am Brian. And for my wife, Jill, we love you. And we will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, this is Justified Now in North Carolina. I called in on March the 8th requesting prayer from my husband and myself. My husband was hospitalized in March twice. He had two hospital stays twice because of some seizures that he was having, and then high fever and urinary tract infection. And I'm his caregiver. So I'm calling in on that day, and I asked for prayer. And I just called today to thank Mountain Gloam, and I think she said she was from New Mexico, and another gentleman who called in on April 10th. And they both prayed for us. And I just want to say thank you. My heart was so touched, and I was so greatly encouraged when I heard you all praying for my husband and me. God used you that day to speak to our hearts and to say, I see you, I love you, and I got you in all of this. So Mountain Grown in New Mexico and the other gentleman who prayed for us, I appreciate your prayers. And all the prayers from the dabbers who pray in the background. My husband had a urology appointment on April 15th, and he had a very good report. His bladder and prostate issues were much better. And the doctor said, well, I'll see you next year. All praise to Jesus. Let's continue in prayer and watching the same with Thanksgiving dabbers. Until next time, this is Justified Now in North Carolina, sending love to you all. God bless you.
Hey, DAB. It is Refined by the Fire in Ohio. Hey, just checking in. And B, you know, I just have marriages on my mind. I was going to go back and re-listen to Jill and Brian's, whatever this is, their amazingly transparent and vulnerable discussion about the battle for our marriages. And I am not here, I'm not looking to shame anybody. Each one of our journeys is very different and very personal, and Jesus is with us along the whole entire path. But that is how I came to find the DAB, was right on the verge of self-destructing my marriage. That at that point was almost 20 years in, and now we're at 31. That is all a miracle. I can't own that. My husband can't own that. We both recognize God's hand, and it is still a battle. Satan would love nothing more than to get his claws in between the most sacred covenant there is on this planet, and it is hard fought. So it is not So yeah, there's a lot, but Brian and Jill has done such a great job of just talking, and I want you to know I'm out here praying for our marriages. Don't give up hope. There's always hope when Jesus is involved, guys. Love you so much.
Hello, Dabbers. This is Kay from Ohio. I wanted to pray for Dwayne from Wisconsin, my brother. That's hard. It is hard to pray. Have something going on with all of your children. That's just hard. So God, you heard his prayer request. God, you heard him. Every moan and every sigh, every scream from the pain that he's experiencing, that his wife is experiencing. God, I'm asking for rest. But I'm asking that they draw closer to you, even in the pain. That they rest in you and trust you through it all. That you will make them stronger and wiser, God. Bring them doctors that give them relief. That they don't have to stay on pills the entire time, God. Whatever the physical therapy, whatever needs to happen for relief. Not a quick fix, but for actual relief, God, in the process. That they will be a blessing to the doctors and the nurses and the physical therapists that are helping them. Help them to keep their arms and their hands open so they can receive what you have to say over their children. Give them the courage to release their children into your hands. And that you're going to take care of them. And every time they try to pick up worry, they put it back down and worship you. Your will, your way, God. Nothing more, nothing less. We all claim victory. And peace and love. Justice for our children. Thank you, God. We love you and we say thank you.
Good morning, Dab fam. This is Daniel Wholehearted calling from Fayetteville, North Carolina. And I just wanted to ask everyone to join in and pray for the salvation of a friend of ours, Carolyn, who Jesus is just calling her to him right now, and we're so excited. She came to our Easter service a couple weeks ago, and afterwards, we asked her what she thought. She said, that was a lot, and I'll be back next week. And she's humble, she's strong, and she's searching, and we're just praying. She's asked to talk with us maybe this Saturday, so Saturday the 25th, maybe sometime around then. Just be giving up prayers for her that God would continue to just pour out his wisdom into her heart, that the Holy Spirit, just like Brian prays all the time, that the Spirit of truth would lead her into all truth. I pray against any attacks of Satan over the next week that would distract her away from the truth and this desire for her to know the truth and to seek after Jesus. And so I'll just pray a little bit right now. God, I'm grateful. I'm grateful that you've given me a front row seat to the work that you're doing, just being able to watch you pull on her heart and watch you call out to Carolyn. Lord, I pray for her salvation. I pray that she would just come to know you in the life-changing way that you, in which you enter people's lives, Lord. I pray that she would be covered by Jesus' blood, and that she would be raised to new life in you. Lord, that her heart would just be brought back to life for you. All of this, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for the prayers that are going to come along with this. Appreciate it, family. Bye.
Hello, Dab family. My name is Claudia. I am calling from Texas. This is my first time calling, and I'm here to request prayers for my dear friend, Janex. She has been a widow for almost 3 years, and since then, her health has been declining. Today, she had a bone graft procedure. So, besides asking for her fast recovery, in general, I'm asking for her health to improve. She's by herself. She doesn't have any kids. Of course, she has the Lord. But she needs her prayers. I really appreciate that. God bless you, and I want everyone to have a wonderful day. Thank you.
I have two other prayers that I want to pray for on April 19th for Zach, who's unemployed and needs, he wants the job dealing with fiber on trains. And then Teresa, who's having a biopsy on her thyroid. Lord God in heaven, I pray for Zach, Lord Jesus, that you would open up the windows of heaven, that you open up doors for him, Lord God, and give him, God, what he's seeking for. That's according to your will, Father. He's seeking a job on the train dealing with fiber. And I just pray, Father, that you would bless him and that you grant him favor and mercy, Father God, that you would elevate his resume, Lord God, and that if it be your will, God, for him to be in this position, that you would bless him with employment expediently in Jesus' name. And I pray, God, you help him to be patient and to wait upon you expectingly. I pray for Teresa, who's having a biopsy on her thyroid. Lord, we just ask you for mercy and grace and healing for her and peace of mind, Father God. We pray that this biopsy will be benign and that it will not, that the mass or whatever it is that doing a biopsy, oh God, will not spread throughout her body. But God, we pray that it will be contained and easily removed. Oh God, that you will just cause it to dissipate. In Jesus' name, we bless you and we praise you for the answer. We thank you for giving Zach a job, Lord God, employment, and for healing Teresa's body, Father God, and bringing her peace, bringing both of them peace. In Jesus' name, we bless you and we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.